So tonight, we're doing part two of Choose Life or Death. I'm sure you all recognize that scripture. It's from Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It's not referenced in the notes here. Where God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you a choice, life or death, blessing or cursing. So choose life, that you and your seed may live. Now notice, it's so important to God that he calls heaven and earth to record it. Notice it says, the choice of whether you live or die is up to you. It's your choice. That's actually repeated in Psalm 91 at the end. With long life will I satisfy you. Who determines how long you live? You do. How do you determine that? By the choices you make. And the choices you make are reflected in your words. Your words determine how long you live. For your words, your tongue, guides your life the way a rudder guides a ship. Notice that it's life or death, blessing or curses. Because if you choose life, you will speak blessings. If you speak blessings, you will speak God's word. God's words are a blessing. Now, recently, I read an article in the paper, newspaper. I know for those of you who are younger, you may not know what it is. It's a big sheet of paper you opened up and has the news. No, it's not a cell phone. Okay? So I was reading this old-fashioned newspaper, and it was talking about the current trend in movies. There have been some very major blockbusters, would-be blockbusters, big budget movies that have flopped recently. And they were saying the trend in movies is towards movies that are trying to explain why the world is getting so bad, what's going on, and what is life all about. Into that niche comes a bunch of Christian movies, which is really nice. But the point of fact is, we know the answers to all those things. And the point of fact, the Christian movies I'm aware of that's been coming out are wonderful and great, but they're not answering those questions either. Am I right? You know, it's amazing how many churches don't talk about a devil. Some churches, I'm talking about regular mainstream denominational churches, don't even believe in a devil. So how can they explain what's going on if they don't believe in a devil, who is the cause of the challenges? So, tonight in part two, we're going to look at choosing to be one of the few to be chosen. Choosing to be one of the few to be chosen. In part one, we looked at living under the lordship of Jesus. Part one tells us how to live. Part one tells us how to live. Part two is going to tell us where to live. So part one is how, part two is where, and part three is why. Why to live. How to live, where to live, and why to live. So, in part two, where to live is captured in the title. Where you want to live is you want to live as being one of the chosen. You want to make the choice that I want to be one of the chosen. Because that's where life is. All of the Bible, from Adam sinned until Jesus returns, is a matter of filtering. Matter of filtering. After Adam, the first filtering was Cain and Abel. Abel brought his offerings, the firstling of his flock, and Cain brought his fruits. And God did not show respect for Cain's offering of fruits. Cain got upset, and he chose to filter himself out by killing his brother. Didn't really help his brother yet, but of course, this life that we live now, the life that Abel was living then, is a drop in the bucket of time. So Abel has gone on and will be going on for big things. Cain, on the other hand, had a problem. And why did God not show favor to the offerings from Cain? Because God had just finished telling them, the land is cursed. So he runs out and he brings them offerings that's cursed. Such as when so many Christians take offerings to a 501c3 church and give their offerings into a tainted environment. Fine if you want to give it to an offering to a ministry that's helping children or doing wonderful work and you want to see the work done so you support them. That's great. But if you really are interested in the blessings of a tither and the blessings of giving an offering, you don't want to put it into a cursed environment, tainted environment. And the 501c3 churches, once upon a time in this country, not long ago, in fact, if my memory serves me correctly, until 1963, all churches were non-501c3s. And in 1963, right around there, Lyndon Johnson brought in a proposal to create a nonprofit organization so that people could give into these nonprofits. Well, people are already giving to churches. Churches, their tithes, their offerings and tithes have always been tax deductible. But the other ones, the other ministries, were not. So it is primarily intended for ministries like fighting cancer and all these good works that have been done. That was the purpose. But the church, paying attention to their attorneys and to their accountants, and ignoring the word of God, which says, come out of them, among other things, and not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, they all flocked to these 501c3 corporations. And so what they did was, having been born in a country, having birthed your ministry in a country where religion doesn't come under the state, and there is actually a separation of the church and the state, they then chose to take their ministries and churches under the state. Once they become a 501c3 corporation, they're subject to the laws of the country and the state for the corporation. And so they did that. They gave up the separation of church and state to come under the state and the federal government under their supervision and guidance to get what they already had. Now, what the government wanted to do, of course, is ensure that people were not being conned and bilked out of money, so they would track the money they're giving to these 501c3s. But the end result for the Christians is that now they can't stand up in a 501c3 and say anything which contradicts the law of the land, for they can be closed down and their funds taken away. And when they do it, they're violating their oath, because when they applied for 501c3, their first requirement is to be obedient to the laws of the land. Now, why am I telling you this? I absolutely have no idea. But somebody here or there must need to know this. So if you want your tithes to be pure and your offerings to be pure, to walk in the power of having Jehovah Sabaoth, the captain of the armies of heaven, being your partner and rebuking the devourer from your body and your finances and your life, then don't give your tithes to a 501c3 corporation. So that's one of the many ways that people choose death. The choice of death is all around. Because we grew up being trained in the ways of death. Most of us anyway. I don't know anybody who was brought up according to the scriptures to live by the scriptures. They were brought up to study hard, work hard, get a job, take care of yourself, because if you don't, you'll starve to death or something. So, many are called, frankly, in the beginning, all are called. But as we go up the ladder, many are called because from the first step, which is not a calling, first step is available to everybody. Salvation is available to every single person. So on the first step, everybody can have it if they want it. And as you all know, most people don't want it because they don't know about it, they don't believe it, or they never heard it. Thank God we are saved. That is the first and most important testimony. We have been saved by the grace of Almighty God. Amen? Amen. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, choosing to be one of the few to be chosen is a question of filtering. So Cain filtered himself out. As I've said many times before, and I'll say it again here, Jesus preached to multitudes, but he only sent out 70. He only had 12 disciples. At the Mount of Transfiguration, that absolutely intimate time, glorious time, there were only 3. And at the cross, there's only 1. All the rest that run away. Only 1 is reference. That's filtering. Now the filtering is millions left Egypt to go to the promised land. Of the ones that left, of the adults that left, only 2 made it into the promised land. That is filtering. Now, because we're under grace here at ABC, we talk about the filtering. That as you move up the ladder more and more towards the fewer, that we teach you how to create an ark of anointing. That your commitment to God, your prayers, will create an ark of anointing with your family. And many of you have a strong desire to see your family change your lives so they can be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Well, back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Choose life that you and your seed may live. There is the genesis of the ark of anointing. You choose life so you and your seed may live. Did it say live for 10 years, 40 years, 120 years? No, it said live. Live. In Psalm 118, verse 17, it says, you should live and not die. Rather, it says, you should not die, but live to proclaim the work of the Lord. We have a job to do. That job is giving a testimony. Giving a testimony of our life. So, as we look about the few chosen, and as we move towards it, we want to live among the chosen. Our place of residence is to be the few that chosen. We see that days of tribulation are coming ahead. And the days of tribulation shall be shortened for the chosen. So that's a good place to be. God is going to shorten the days of the tribulation for the chosen. Matthew 20:16. So the last shall be the first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. See, there are a lot of believers today who are not going to be alive when Jesus returns. Now the scriptures says, for a believer to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. That's a good thing, because many of them won't be in the body when Jesus returns. But they'll also, they will have been called, been saved during the age of grace, some fairly long time before Jesus returns. But there'll be people alive when Jesus returns I refer you to this story of the sheep and the goats. There'll be people alive who will at that time get their salvation. And those getting their salvation then are the example of the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Many of the first will have died and gone on to heaven. That is not what it's all about. What it's all about is when Jesus returns. So the last shall be the first, that is, those who got saved after the age of grace. I'll give you an example. The martyrs who refused to take the mark of the beast and worship the beast, they're saved. They'll be saved after ones here who have been saved, who have been called, who are under grace, and didn't even believe in the devil. And who believe the book of Revelation was describing the kingdoms around the time of Rome, back around the time of Jesus. But the last are coming, maybe your family being prayed, being saved through the tribulation by your ark of anointing. They'll get saved later, and they'll be here when Jesus returns, and the others won't. If you want to know more about this, then what you do is you study really hard, you work really hard, you get into graduate school semester one, and then you get into graduate school semester two, and then we start talking about some of these things. Mark 13:20. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh shall be saved. The worst times are coming up in the future. As bad as the Holocaust was, the days ahead for the Jews, I'm sorry to say, is going to be worse. And for the Christians, for certain Christians, and certainly for the Christians that are with the Jews in Israel at that time, the days are going to be worse than the Holocaust. It's a sad truth, but it's a truth the world needs to start hearing about. No flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened those days. Notice the elect he has chosen. Go together, elect and chosen. Matthew 24:22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So we're seeing here, it's being shortened for the elect's sake. It's being shortened for those whom he has chosen. So obviously he has chosen the elect. And actually, he's chosen all these people, but the elect continue to live the word and to move along with him. So they're rising up through this filtering process. Here's an example of filtering. Luke 10:42. Martha was very busy preparing the meal and so forth for Jesus. And Mary was sitting at his feet just listening and gobbling up the word of God. So Martha got offended and went to Jesus and said, don't you care that my sister is not exactly these words, but the concept, she's goofing off and she's not helping with the work. I'm doing all the work here. And Jesus responded, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Uno. Uno. How do you say that in tongues? I don't know. One thing is needful. Yet. That's tongue. That's Chinese. Okay. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. One thing is needful. And that's the good part. We shall not be taken from her. We need to be in the presence of the Lord. Dwell in His presence. Feed in His presence. The wonderful Word of God. That's what moves us up the ladder of filtering more and more towards being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Part B, the very elect. So we see the elect are the chosen. What are the very elect? They have the faith for which Jesus is looking. Jesus has given to each person the measure of faith. But what we do with it, what we do with that faith, is our contribution. And that's what He is looking for. He has given us the talents. In this case, the talent is faith, the measure of faith. And what do you do with the talents God gave you? And that's the measurement He's using here when He's coming back. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. This is really key. Understand that people who are not grounded in the Word, people who do not know how to test signs and wonders, people who do not know how to discern in the Spirit, people who do not know to differentiate between right and wrong, and who is a godly person, who is not, they're heading for really challenging times. Unless they really submerge themselves in the Lord. And show great signs and wonders. In so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. So even the very elect, even the chosen, the very elect, who have matured to the point of being able to discern good and evil, who are feeding on not just meat, but the strong meat of the Word. It's close to the point where even they could be deceived. In other words, take every sign, every wonder, every person, and match it against the Scriptures. Forget about what they're doing. Forget about the works that are happening around them, all their miracles and the signs and wonders. Check what they're saying against the Word of God. Is it giving glory to God, or is it giving glory to them or somebody else? Any miracle that does not point people to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son is not from God. All miracles point to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Jesus knows which ones are going to make it all the way through. And those have been chosen from the foundation of the world. We all have free will. But only a few are going to exercise their free will and their diligence and their desire to be obedient to the Word of God who are going to make it through. Those are the ones that have been chosen. So I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. We've been called to bring forth fruit. Fruit unto righteousness. For ourselves, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For others, the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of ministry that draws people closer to the Father, to Jesus Christ the Son. The fruit of getting people saved. He that wins souls is wise. And that your fruit should remain. You've been chosen to bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Why? When your fruit remains, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. It's connected with fruit. Fruit is a product of work. Faith without works is dead. Our works are to do the works that Jesus did, and greater works, to do the works he told us to do. Luke 18, verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? There's a filtering process. Jesus is coming back to find people of faith. People that will believe the word of God. And the word of God says you cannot serve God and mammon. That's one where I think the revelation explosion hasn't occurred to most of the church. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? So the very elect are those who are showing the kind of faith to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Notice the two words, alive and remain. There are a lot of people alive, but they won't be remaining true to the gospel. There will be a lot of people alive, but they won't be remaining true to the gospel. Of course, the word lot is relative, right? Everything is relative. But there will be a lot more people alive than there will be people remaining true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in the great apostasy now. Churches are falling away from the word of God. Denominations are falling away from the word of God. Individuals are falling away from the word of God. Part C, where to live. So we should want to live where God wants us to live just because we love him. But I just gave you A and B to give you some benefits of where you live. Where do you want to live? Well, number one is, here's where most of the world lives. They choose to live as unbelievers. It's not even a question of calling. It's a question of choice. Because 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Have all men to be saved. God would like all men to be saved. Now, after they are saved and they continue through the filtering process, then they come to a knowledge of the truth. They don't have a knowledge of truth when they're saved. All they are babies. They feed on milk. To understand this world, what it's all about in the Bible, we need to feed on strong meat. Which means you need to be in a church that teaches strong meat. And any church that teaches strong meat, you'll see miracles, signs, and wonders happening all the time. Just out of curiosity, in the last 7 days, how many of you have been involved in a miracle? Just raise your hands if you've been involved in a miracle in the last 7 days. Okay. So that's about 30%. 30% in the last 7 days. So, the first group are not even called. But starting with the second group, we can apply the word many. Okay? People will get saved. Of the many who are saved, they're all called to go higher. So, the first choice is choose to be saved. Live as a saved person. There is nothing else more important than living as a saved person. I honestly don't know what I would do if there was no God. I mean, what's the purpose of living if there's no God? What's the purpose of living? My entire life is built around God and Jesus. There's nothing in this world that interests me if there were no God and Jesus. So, yes, we choose to be saved. And we're saved based on Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Notice we're confessing that Jesus is Lord. Not Jesus is Savior. Okay? And shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So we call him Lord, and we call him Savior, before we are saved. We're not lying. That's the process of salvation. You call things that be not as though they are. You call him Lord, and when you call him Lord and accept him as Lord, then he becomes your Lord. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, many are called and few are chosen. So, many are called in two. How many are chosen? The ones who choose to be a disciple. Once you become a disciple, you've made a choice. All people who are saved are believers. There are two types of believers at this level. All believers, when they're absent from the body, is with the Lord, is to be with the Lord. But the ones who move up to the next group, believers and then disciples. The disciples are those who make a decision to be chosen, to move upwards. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So all believers are saved, by definition. All believers, if they die, to be absent from the body is to be the Lord. But those who get set free on earth, those who become ones who move upwards, who are chosen, are those who become disciples. For only the disciples get set free. If you choose to study healing and be a disciple of healing, you can get set free in healing up to a certain point. What Jesus wants is for us to be a disciple of the entire word. And we get set free in every single area. So many are called, few are chosen. Number four. We choose to accept Jesus as Lord. Well, not just saying it, but living it. Here in full, we're living it. Who is living with Jesus as Lord? And Jesus puts it this way in Luke 6:46. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he's like. So, one who is living with Jesus as Lord, don't simply call him Lord, Lord, but they do what he says. And here is what they're like. Luke 6:48. He's like a man who built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. See, that's us. We are saved. We have chosen to be disciples. You wouldn't be here on a Friday night studying the word. Most people are out on a Friday night celebrating, participating in the simple pleasures that mammon has to provide. We are here learning the word. We are building a house up on a rock. And the storms of life won't shake your house. Because it doesn't say if the storm comes, it says when. When the storm comes. When the storm comes, the word of God must be so engrafted into your heart and so much in your mouth that your responses are automatic, automatic, automatic. You don't have time to think about it. And if you have to think about it, fear and the attacks of the enemy and the things of mammon will ensure you make the wrong decision. So when we choose to be a disciple and then choose to live with Jesus as our Lord all the time, then we can move up to being chosen to be a friend of God. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God. No, it didn't say Abraham believed God in terms of prosperity in his animals, or Abraham believed God in terms of having a son, or Abraham believed God that God was going to make him rich, or that Abraham believed God that he'd be a father of many nations. Abraham simply believed God, period. God said it, Abraham believed it, that settled it. And that's where you and I need to be, with Jesus, with the voice of the Holy Spirit, and with the written word of God. You hear it, you do it. No questions or maybe. When we move, when we do that, our faith becomes so strong that Abraham's faith and trust and belief and obedience in what God said was so strong, his faith was counted as righteousness. He was counted righteous before Jesus ever died. That's what Jesus wants. People whose faith are so strong, they believe every word he says, and every word the voice of the Holy Spirit says here, and they believe the word of God. And they believe him so much that just as Abraham was counted a friend of God, Jesus says, you're my friends if you do what I say. Just the same as God. Do what he says and Jesus will call you a friend. And that's how we are choosing to move upwards. People can stop anywhere, and they do. Anywhere. And they stop at different places in time. And we have a teaching called the ways of the Spirit, which showed how, since Martin Luther, how ways of revelation flooded the earth, one after another. And people chose to love it. See the dead raised, dead have been raised at every revelation stream. And they love it, and it's so wonderful, but people don't like change, so they don't move on. And they don't move on, and they don't move on. And wherever they stop, they got churches, which became denominations. And even today, the process continues. The process continues, even today. No, we want to surf the waves of the Spirit. Whatever God brings, we want to go with it. We don't want to stop and start the denomination. We don't want the praises of men. We want to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to the revealed knowledge. For in these ending days, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall flood the earth. Don't you want to be part of that? Amen. I want to be part of that. I want to see the knowledge of the glory of the Lord flood the earth. And I want to see the glory of the Lord flood me. Every cell, organ, and system in my body, and in the bodies of every person here listening to me right now, on video, on rebroadcast, on the internet right now. Don't you all want that?
Amen.
Say, I agree in Jesus' name.
I agree in Jesus'
name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we move the beginning. Many are called, but few are chosen. So number six, don't you want to choose to escape the challenges coming up in the world? We all do. I mean, who would want to say no to that? But to get to six, notice you have to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. That's called filtering. So we want to escape the challenges coming up in the earth. Will people escape it? Well, let's see what Jesus says. Luke 21:36. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So to stand before the Son of Man when he returns, we have to be accounted worthy. No, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And every person who is born again is in right standing with God. And if they sin, they just, you know, agree with God. Yes, I missed it. I committed a sin here. I receive the forgiveness which Jesus purchased for me on the cross for that sin. So they're the righteousness of God. Each believer is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if they die, they'll go to heaven when they leave the body. But there's something much, much greater. That's why the filtering continues. And part of what's much greater involves escaping the challenges coming up of the earth. And the faith to do that requires works, because works by themselves can't do it. And faith without works can't do it either. It has to be faith and works. Because when you come right down to it, your faith was given to you by God. He gave you the measure of faith. What you do with it, that's works. So your faith with works can do anything. See, it's the only belief Only believe all things are possible. But that only believe means that you believe in your heart, your soul, and your mind. And whatever you believe in your heart, soul, and your mind, that's what you'll say. And whatever you say, that's what you will do. So when it says only believe, it means only believe and follow it along with the alignment of thoughts, words, and action. Because if you don't, then you really didn't believe. You only had mental assent. Amen? Amen? You cannot really believe something and not act on it and speak on it. When you go to a movie and you like the movie, do you come home and keep your mouth shut and say, I'm not going to tell anybody about the movie because I like it so much? Nobody does that. So Luke 21:36. Be filtered upwards. Live where you can escape all the challenges coming up on the earth. And where is that? By watching and praying always. And having the desire to stand before the Son of Man. Having the desire to stand before the Son of Man. Number six. We want to choose to be alive and remain. Choose to be alive and remain. When Jesus returns. For the rapture. No. For the part of the body of Christ that believes that there is a rapture, they believe you don't have to do anything. It is part of your salvation package. All believers are going to be raptured. And they had a series of movies in it. A lot of movies tell you that. It's part of your salvation package. And my question is, isn't healing part of your salvation package? So how come they got healing school all over the place? How come they got healing lines at the front of churches? How come most Christians are sick? How come most Christians have insurance? And the answer is, it's part of your salvation package. It's just like what God... I was at a hospital recently, and I was talking to the head nurse. And she was the only person there who understood what I was doing. And she was saying, yes, little by little. No, she was saying baby steps, baby steps. And I said, yes, baby steps, baby steps. Little by little. I says, your scripture is Joshua 1 verse 3. That when Moses died and God was promoting Joshua to take over and replace the greatest commander of all times, God told him, wherever you put your foot, that land I have already given to you. It already belongs to them. And they have the faith to believe God gave me this promised land. God said it. It belongs to them. It's done spiritually. And they have the faith to believe it. So God said it. God gave it to them. They have the faith to believe it. Ah, but they needed the action to take it. And everywhere they put their foot, that God has given to them. What happens when they don't put their foot on it? They will never get it. It's in their promise. It's in their salvation package. They left Egypt, went through the desert, crossed the River Jordan into the promised land because they believed the whole land belongs to them. But they had to put their foot on it and take it. And wherever they did not put their foot on, they never got. Same thing. Healing is in your salvation package. So is the right to be raptured. But healing only comes when you put your foot on God's promises of healing. And to put your foot on it is an action. You must have the faith to believe it. You must start with a mental assent to agree with it. Then the faith to believe it, and the action to go with your faith to release the power that comes through your faith when work and faith are united. Same thing with healing. Same thing with prosperity. Same thing with freedom from calamity. Same thing with the rapture. Same thing with the rapture. Now notice, it's the sixth level. So, to be alive and remain, based on these scriptures, it says you need to progress through all those six steps.
There are actually two sixes.
My wife, the editor. Okay. Well, one six is English and one is in tongues. Okay? So, the outline, I thought 8 was a strange number. But, okay. Let me tell you, this document is totally miraculous. The production of it and the time frame in which it was done was totally miraculous. I sat down with God and I said, God, the only way this thing can be done in time is for you to miraculously work through it. And he did. Now, God didn't make the mistake with 2 sixes. I did, okay? So it should be 9. I know 9 is a good number. 9 makes sense to me. Okay? Okay. So, on the second 6, choose to be alive and remain. We will have to make the choice. You make the choice that you have the faith, then you need to put works to your faith. What's the works? The previous 6 steps. That's where you want to live. Live where you can be alive and raptured. Continuing with the next one, which is number 8. You want to choose to be not subject to the second death. See, the first death is nothing. First death is just crossing from A to B. It's going from one kingdom to another. Jesse Duplantis, great man of God, said, we should live our lives so that the transition from this life to the next is hardly noticeable. Absolutely right on. Absolutely right on. If you think, my gosh, I'm living my life, here's all the things I haven't done, here's my bucket list, you know, I haven't climbed mountains on the 7 continents, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough money to leave for my kids, my will isn't done, and all these various things that people think about. If that's the way you think, then your life, transitioning from this life to the next, is going to be very noticeable. But if your entire life is built on the Word of God, and you spend your days thinking about God, praying about God, working for God, yeah, you may have a secular job, but you're in your secular job working as unto the Lord. It's very clear. Work as unto the Lord. You're not there working for a salary and a paycheck. You're working unto God. If you're working for your salary and your paycheck, the day comes when the company, when the economy gets bad, I pray in the name of Jesus this won't happen to anybody. Listen to me. But the economy gets bad, or the company runs in a bad situation, or people are laid off, or they re-engineer, whatever, and you suddenly you don't have a job. Well, if no job, if that's your focus, no paycheck. But if your focus is working unto God, and you're always working unto God, it makes no difference if there's a company or not. He'll pay you anyway. I remember back in 1987, I know there were no dinosaurs here. In 1987, I left my secular job to go overseas for a period. Didn't know how long it would be. Turned out to be several trips. And so, I went down there and used up the last of my money to get there. Almost all the money. I mean, I had a negligible amount of money left. And in the process of doing that, I was hooked up with a very wealthy man was heavily invested in the stock market. And God says, tell him, this coming month, the stock market is going to crash. And he just laughed at me. He thought it was crazy. He thought I was crazy before I told him that. This just confirmed it. And he knew a lot about stock markets, and he was in contact with his broker in New York every day. He was semi-retired. The man was what? In his 30s, semi-retired. And every day he speak to his broker in New York. Well, the market did crash. Really bad. I think percentage-wise was the worst crash, I think, in history, percentage-wise. So he came to me after the crash and says, well, what do I do now? I said, you're the stock expert. What are you asking me for? He said, I thought you'd ask God and God would tell you. So I said, okay. I went off and asked God. And God said, tell him to take every penny he can get and buy more stock. And he did. And the stock market in a very short time turned around and went zoomed back up. He made a lot of money. But he gave me an offering or a tithe, I don't know. But it was enough for me with my means to live for a year without working. See? When God said quit the job and go down there, I wasn't thinking, where's my money going to come from? Because I'm working for God. I'm not working for the company. And that's what we need to do with every aspect of our lives. So, Number seven. Choose to be alive and remain. Okay? And then number eight. Choose to be not subject to the second death. Revelation 2:11. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. So the first death is just a transition. People go through the first death to God, they're all alive. God is the Father of the living. Jesus said that. He's the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the Father of the dead. He can see them all. They're alive. What death is separation from God. And what the second death is, separation from God and being cast into a lake of fire for eternity. Lake of fire for eternity. That's the second death. And you can avoid that. You can ensure here now under grace, you can live a life such that you're not subject to it. For those who are alive and remain will not be subject to the second death. They'll be overcomers seated on the throne. But those who are not will be subject to the second death. Again, more on the subject, you need to go to graduate school. Finally, number nine, choose to be a son of God. We are all children of God. Romans 8:14 tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God in everything in life, you will overcome every challenge. The Bible says, for this day, for every day, God has already given you everything you need for life and godliness. It belongs to you. It's part of your salvation package. It belongs to you. It is part of your salvation package. But we need to know it belongs to us. We need to exercise our faith, our words, and our works to bring it into us. We need to make it our own. And the way to do that is to be led by the Spirit of God in everything you do. When you go through these steps and you're led by the Spirit of God, then you'll be alive and remain true to the gospel. Then you'll be raptured. Then you won't be subject to the second death. Then you'll be an overcomer. And in Revelation 21:7, my new favorite scripture, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. See, the Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that Jesus owns, we own in conjunction with him. We're joint heirs. But just because it belongs to us, it doesn't come to us. Bible even goes on to say that when you're children, the children, though they be the heir of all, are not masters. They don't have access to it. The children have to grow up into mastery, grow up to be adults in the family of God. They do that by feeding on strong meat and growing up. When we grew up to be led by the Spirit of God and become an overcomer in all things, then truly we shall be the Son of God and we shall inherit all things. That which belongs to us now will become reality. So choose to live at one of these levels, and be sure you accept the invitation to go to the higher one until you get to number nine. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much for your time. God bless you all.
We thank you. Oh, Jesus, we have so much to thank you for. We could just stand here and go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it would be a very long time before we ran out of things to thank you for. But we want to thank you for the privilege of inviting us to the table to partake of your body and your blood. We thank you for your word that tells us that on that night in which you were betrayed, you took the bread, you blessed it, you broke it, you said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word is clear from Genesis to Revelation, that healing belongs to us. We thank you that through the story of healing, we know that Isaiah looked ahead to say that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus, prophesying 700 years earlier. And then Jesus, while you were walking the face of this earth, ministering your salvation to people, healing and deliverance. And you said, I am he that was spoken of in Isaiah. And then Peter looks back on the cross and says, yes, and now the price has been paid in full, complete, and it's a done deal. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you took upon yourself. I mean, we can glibly each week say, you took every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain known to man. But then sometimes we go through even one of them that's so horrible, and we can't even imagine what it was like for you to take all of them on at the same time for all mankind. How awful that must have been for you. But you did it because you loved us so much. It's your love that carried you through. It's your love for us that strengthened you, that took you to the end of the sacrifice, making it a total, complete success. For now, you've paid the price in full, and the benefit belongs to us. And we are so grateful, Jesus, more than words can say. So we just say thank you. And we partake together of this precious broken body to receive our wholeness now. Not just one area of challenge, but in our entire bodies, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. You paid for it all, Jesus. It all belongs to us, and we take it all now in Jesus' name. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Oh, Jesus, you've done so much for us. You've saved us, healed us, delivered us. You prosper us. You protect us. You are our everything, Jesus. And all we can say is thank you, thank you. And we know that you know that this comes from our hearts, from the depths of our being. We love you so much, Jesus. And we thank you for all that you have done for us. And we drink to you, Lord. We honor you. We bless you. We praise you. And we partake together of this precious, life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. Let's partake together in Jesus' name.